what a difference a week makes. Oh, we were so positive. We were just wallowing in our positivity last week. And now look at us. The Wild have lost two in a row. The Timberwolves are on the outside looking in. The Twins lost yesterday. Kenta Maeda's arm just about fell off in the fifth inning. MSU hockey, don't even get me started on what's happened to that program in the course of a week, right, TJ?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, we've taken a turn. This is what happens when we get positive. We get whacked on the nose with a newspaper for it the next week. And here we sit back into what we're used to, negativity.
It just feels right.
The Twins had to cancel their home opener even. So that was, well, actually, okay, they postponed it to Friday. Wow, you guys, what a start for the Twins. And TJ, are you taking the credit for this hot start?
100% I am, yes. The pessimistic approach worked for us. I mean, we took a little stumble yesterday and we lost a game, but if I keep it as pessimistic as possible, we can still go 161-1.
Yeah, I don't know why not, right? It was we ran into a buzzsaw in Alcantara last night. And I guess from what I hear, Spence, I guess Maeda's arm is still attached and he's okay. He scared the hell out of everybody, though.
Okay, here's my problem.
Uh-oh.
In this day and age where we baby pitchers.
Yeah, that we do.
We're coming off Tommy John surgery a while ago for him.
6 years ago.
Why bring him out for the sixth? They brought him out in the sixth inning. Why didn't they just leave him be done after five?
Why did we pick him as the poster child for we're gonna stretch our pitchers out longer?
Thank you. Yeah, the guy who had surgery, who we're most worried about.
Yeah,
and let him pitch six.
Go out there. He's fine. He's shaking his arm. He's got this pained expression on his face, and we're all like, "Oh God, here we go again." Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why we picked him. It's weird. The starting pitching's been awfully good though so far, guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good sign.
You know, and the whole thing about Maeda, though, when he came off, he wasn't holding anything. He went to the bench. There was no trainers around him. You know, no one was making a big deal out of it. He still had a smile on his face. I think it was just, hey, it's my first game, and I hadn't pitched that much in the preseason. And, you know, his velocity was way down, so I think he was babying it. He probably pushed it a little bit. I would say just tired, maybe strained. It didn't seem like it was a giant deal.
He looked good when he was out there. I mean, he looked really good. Gave up a one run.
Was it nine strikeouts? Amazing.
Yeah. That home run he gave up was a moonshot, though. It was just like, woo.
Yeah. Maybe it was a Justin Jefferson thing where he was grabbing his hamstring, but he was kidding.
Oh.
You know?
If he'd have done a little gritty afterwards, we would have totally understood.
Right. I didn't get a chance to see any of the game, but everyone was complaining that Buxton wasn't in the lineup. So we're 4-0 with him in the lineup, but 0-1 with him in the lineup. Whoa. Everybody said that this lineup that was put out, and I don't know if you guys will agree or not, but this lineup that was put out was like B squad. Like, we were just giving him this game because...
I'll disagree with that. Buck was out, but I think everybody else was in. There were a couple of guys that are more bench players that were in. It reminded me of what you'd expect typically today, where there's a getaway game, day game after a night game, and you put some of the scrubs in. But even the scrubs, I know this is so positive of me. Why am I saying this? But even the scrubs this year, and so I forget which guy said this, could be starters on a lot of other teams. And just the opposite was true before. A lot of our starters couldn't even make a major league team after they left the Twins organization. I wasn't too underwhelmed by it. They just that guy that pitched Sandy yesterday for Miami. Good God, if we could have gotten him, but who's trading a Cy Young Award winner? That guy is just unbelievable, and he throws so hard. He was like throwing 99 mile an hour fastballs, like 92 mile an hour sliders. And he just does it effortlessly.
And wasn't that the first complete game of the season for anybody?
Is it really? I believe that.
He tied. He tied the first. He had six complete games last year, and that was the most since 2016. So,
dang.
they said the best part about him was he doesn't have that mentality that he has to strike everyone out, so he controls his pitches. And yeah, he looked every bit of it yesterday.
And we didn't lose by double digits, so
no.
We'll be all right.
1-0. And I after the game, Rocco said that the reason Maeda was reacting the way he was gassed. Like he was super tired out. But it's true, because like when Alcantara was out there pitching, I think one inning, Maeda got a 3-minute break. So from the time he got into the dugout to when he had to go back on out and pitch again, I mean, he was just humming along, this guy, and he was, you know, batter up, batter down. I mean, the game itself was an hour and 57 minutes. It's that quick.
Well, the Twins only had 3 hits, you know. There was
No pitching changes for Miami. He went the whole way. So you add all that up and the pitch clock and everything. If they could get these games to under an hour now, I think we're talking. I think
we could play doubleheaders every day.
Yes, we could play 3 games in today.
Doubleheader in the span of a single game last year.
How surprising!
I know that's what Spence is hoping for.
How surprising has Joey Gallo been? He had a quiet night last night. I don't know if he played, to be honest with you. I only watched the end of the game, but
pretty sure it wasn't the game. Yeah,
three homers, 3 consecutive at bats, and he's looked great. He's been playing a solid first base too.
He had another one that was looking like it was going to go out, but in the to quote Major League, he hit it too high. It might have been too hard. I don't know, but for sure it was too high. It was going, but yeah, it stalled. So
bad launch angle, probably. Yep, launch sure angle. He's been a surprise. I knocked the signing because I thought, oh, we're finally getting rid of Sano and all those wasted at bats and all those strikeouts. And then you sign Joey Gallo. What I didn't realize was he's a Gold Glover. He's a former, you know, all-star. Yeah, he's going to strike out some, but he brings a Gold Glove. He brings speed. And for a guy who thought he was going to play the outfield, all of a sudden Kirilloff, his wrist is still bothering him. They're like, guess what, Joey, you're the first baseman. And he just slid right in there. And so far, so good, knock on wood, has filled the gap over there, which is huge. Buxton not in the lineup, but man, I thought he looked good so far.
Yeah, he's been on fire. I don't know how many extra base hits he's got, but there, you know, he's got at least 1 triple, a couple of doubles. I don't know how many runs scored, plenty. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's looked really good.
Yeah, that triple he hasn't lost a step. It did not take him long to get to third.
That's what I was going to say. He seems like he's getting around the bases good, right? Although, am I the only one that holds their breath every time he slides into a base? I'm like,
no, you're not.
I wait until he gets up. I'm like, is he okay? Is he grabbing anything? Is he wincing? How are we doing? Are all the parts still attached? How are we doing? So that's good. Starting pitching is good. Kepler hit a bomb the other night, but other than that, he's been doing very little as your leadoff man. Have we made a mistake there, Dougie? And if so, God, who do you put in that top spot?
Oh, you're asking the wrong guy. I'm a huge Kepler guy, and I feel like, I don't know, I keep saying he's going to do it. Now they get rid of the shift, he's going to be better. But yeah, right. I just, you know, and maybe he just needed that breakout hit. And then unfortunately, right after his home run, the leadoff home run. So I thought, this is it. This is the spark. It's what I've been waiting for. And then he tweaks his knee on an infield hit. And so now who knows?
Yeah,
I don't know. So if you're looking at someone else, maybe Nick Gordon, maybe. I mean, you got speed there and he hits for contact. So
maybe he did that last night.
Maybe Larnick is a guy you give a chance there or something, but I don't know. There's nobody else really hot right now.
That power with him, though. I hate to come to the 4 spot, but at least he gets on, though. Yeah, for sure. Or maybe even Correa.
Yeah, Correa. Somebody mentioned Gallo, too, and I was like, keep him down further because you want guys on base. You want guys on base when he swats one. Very weird seeing Luis Arraez in a Marlins uniform. Mm-hmm. Was that surreal or what? Anybody else have trouble with that?
Yeah, I watched almost the whole game, and every time he came up, it hurt right here a little bit.
Did you see the pregame interview that he did with Bally?
No, that I missed.
No.
Okay, so I mean, in his broken English, he really was trying to convey the thought that he loved it here. He loved the fans. I mean, honestly, like straight up genuine, loved his teammates, his manager. Like, he was really shook by the whole transaction. And I was waiting for him to, like, start, I don't know, tearing up or something. I mean, genuinely, you could tell that he was like, I understand it's a business, but man, I love these guys.
And then he probably stopped short of going, but also, I'm in Miami.
Right?
I'm in Miami.
Yeah.
Right? So,
yeah, that's the good part. And I'm glad to see he's not the type of guy. A lot of times, right, people leave the team and you're like, well, I hope his career bursts into flames. I don't think anybody's feeling that way about Luis, though, are they? Yeah. No, he's a good kid and very
and he's really dropped off since he left us. I think he's only batting .576 right now.
I know.
Oh, he's really on the team.
Yeah, you realize you're hitting almost 600, right? So don't get too weepy on us here.
Yeah.
All right, so that's all positive. The Twins 4-1. They have a day game today, and then off Thursday. So they've swapped Thursday and Friday, and they'll do the home opener on Friday at Target Field. Let's talk about the really, really bad MSU hockey, Minnesota State University of Mankato hockey. I can't ever remember in 55 years as a sports fan see what's happened to this club. Where you go from, hey, like a week and a half ago, you were in the NCAA men's hockey tournament as one of the, what, how many teams make that? 16?
16.
Of the top 16 teams in the country to today, where we wake up with no head coach. And the guy you thought would take over the program, Todd Knott, the assistant head coach, says, thanks, but no thanks. Looks like he may go to Wisconsin with Coach Hastings. And then what the next natural thing to happen is what? All the players start bailing, and especially with the transfer portal now. So, I don't know. TJ, update me. But here I have going pro, Livingstone, Hirose, Borchert, Pavel, Carroll, Sandelin, Furry, and then entering the transfer portal, leading scorer, David Cilia, Zmolik, Fitzgerald, and the guy everybody was looking forward to watching his whole career in Mankato, Simon Tassi, enters the portal too. Any updates?
I don't have any updates on those current stats. One of the things I'll say is I can't blame anyone for going pro when you get an offer and it's an opportunity like that. I mean, depending on what your priorities are, I think for a lot of these guys, playing pro hockey is the goal. And if you get an opportunity to go make money to play hockey, some of these guys were seniors and they were going to be moving on anyway. So I'm very happy for those guys that were seniors. These juniors like Pavel and Hirose. I mean, Hirose's already played. He's already logged NHL time with the Canucks. He's a pro. So good for him. Pavel's deal was a 2-year deal, just under $2 million. And he'll get an opportunity with Colorado. So I can't fault those guys too much. And I know with the Twins, I go with the reverse psychology on the pessimism.
Right.
And I've had this conversation actually with my daughter, who's in Italy right now, and she's watching everything from afar. And she's a huge hockey fan and a big Maverick hockey fan. And she's texting me every single day. And I'm like, here's how I'm keeping it positive. We don't have a head coach right now. We don't know who our head coach is going to be. There's several great options that are out there. Some of those options are currently playing in the Frozen Four, and they're not going to make any of those announcements until their team is out. So perhaps got a guy that's playing in the Frozen Four that may be coming this way. And for the players that have entered the portal, as sad as that is, the portal's only open for the portal's weird. It's like 60 days after they choose the championship field or whatever. So when they chose the 16 teams, the portal opens up and everybody starts jumping in. These guys, as sad as it would be to see them go, and if they go, and they just might, they have to put themselves in the portal and kind of wait to see. They don't have to go anywhere if they don't want to. And then if the head coach hire is something they like, they can go, oh, you know what? I'm going to take my toes out of the pool there and stay right here at MSU. Will that happen? I have no idea. There was rumors and talk about Cilia signing a pro contract as well, and that could still very well happen. Doesn't matter that he's in the portal. But I'm trying to cling to some sort of optimism that these players are just protecting themselves in the event that should the hire that MSU makes not fit for them, they have options. And if they really enjoy and like the hire, then they can say, okay, well, yeah, no, I will stay. But it was tough yesterday when people were posting line charts and team photos, and you saw 2/3 of your coaching staff with big X's through their faces, and literally 50% of your roster gone for whatever the reason, gone. It's going to be a completely different year next year, but that happens. I mean, there's several examples of teams that have been decimated in that way and have come back and still been strong programs. So I just say, don't lose faith. It sucks. It sucks. It hurts. But don't lose faith. You know, we don't know who the hire is going to be. And I'm trying to, like I said, cling to that optimistic part of it where it's like, okay, well, if we haven't really hired anybody yet, then maybe that next person is still playing hockey or at least still coaching hockey, you know, but there's been a lot of names thrown around and there's not one in particular that I'm thinking it's got to be this guy.
Guys, what are you thinking here in all this?
Is Kurt Russell available? Because I just saw a movie with him in it and he was a fantastic hockey coach. So I'm throwing Kurt Russell into the ring.
I nominated the Hanson brothers, but I don't know if that'll
fine choice.
Yeah.
Well, if they can hire somebody in the next week or two, maybe they get people that enter the portal and want to come here and play here.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what's today? So Frozen Four starts tomorrow and it's over on Saturday. So a lot of stuff could be announced Saturday night and on Sunday, and we may have a better idea of what direction we're heading from there. There was a couple of alumni names that were brought up in different articles that were written that got me to raise a little eyebrow. Ryan Carter was one of them, and I don't know. Ooh. He's got a pretty, I mean, he's very knowledgeable on hockey and pretty well spoken about that stuff. I don't know if that's a job he wants. I think he's got a pretty sweet deal with the Wild and Valleys right now. Travis Morin is he's down in Texas, I believe, with the AHL doing some coaching. Those are kind of long shots and young guys, but they're former players that make you go, well, that'd be interesting. But we've also done that before. We've had former players coaching and then we turned the corner and went with Mike Hastings and obviously elevated the program. So there's plenty of coaches out there. It's a matter of which ones are available now or maybe, like I said, I don't know, I'm clinging to the hope that the one that MSU really wants is playing a game tomorrow and possibly Saturday.
It blows my mind, too, that they're like, the MSU will be hiring just its fourth head coach in its history. Wow. I mean, that stat right there is a mind blower, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So many years. I don't know. So you mentioned a couple of ex-players, but who would you say TJ is getting the most buzz right now? Somebody who might be a coach somewhere else, an assistant somewhere else. Are there a couple of names maybe that you're hearing?
Grandpa Tolney's name comes up a lot.
Tolney?
He's the head coach at Northern Michigan, and he's done some good things. But a lot of people think he is the heir to Bob Motzko at Minnesota when Bob decides to retire. If and when that happens, right? So people are like, yeah, he's not going to come to Mankato for that. Another name that has been going around a little bit more in the last couple days is a guy named Eric Largen. He's a young coach, and he's been coaching up at Alaska, the Nanooks, and they had a phenomenal season, almost made it into the top 16.
And made it
into the tournament. He might enjoy an opportunity to come into a well-established program in the lower 48 where there's not as much travel and the things that come with being in Alaska aren't a factor. So that might be a name. But there's a lot of associate coaches out there, head coaches out there, too, that, you know, you're waiting to find out more on. Minnesota has an associate head coach named Steve Miller. North Dakota's associate head coach could come, but those are just a few of the, one of the long shots was Western Michigan's coach, Pat, is it Furschweiler, I think is his name, also got a pretty good pedigree when it comes to coaching and has done some great things with Western Michigan. So there, I threw a whole bunch of names up at you, and absolutely none of them are sticking to the wall at the moment. So, oh, there we go. David Backus.
David Backus.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that's Spence's buddy, right?
Yeah. Let's go make some calls.
Yeah. He, I don't know. I think he's living in Southern California and quite enjoys the flip flop life. I'm not so sure that coaching is going to be up his alley, but that would also be a big draw, especially for alumni and backers of the program.
Well, whoever it is, TJ, huge breezers to fill, right? In Mike Hastings' case, a guy who's, when you look at the record, has won basically, it comes down to about 3 out of every 4 games that the Mavericks have played under Mike Hastings, they have won. Wow. I mean, that's a staggering accomplishment.
We've been spoiled, but you know what? We're Minnesota sports fans, so we're used to just taking a beating over the head like this and trying to rebound. And we're used to the can't have nice things mentality. But honestly, it's probably better that, I don't know, this might be going out on a limb, but it's probably better that a lot of the team, that the team has sort of been gutted so that a new coach can come in and make their mark. You know, they're not coming in and taking over a bunch of players that were someone else's recruits. Then now they can go to work and get their program. I mean, I'm not going to turn around. I mean, never say never, but you know, you're not going to turn around and be on top of the world the next season. It takes time, and it did with Hastings too. He did it rather quickly, but yeah, I don't know. I just hope fans don't lose hope. I hope they don't bail on the team. It's still going to be quality Division I hockey. There's going to be some great teams that are coming into Mankato to play this team. And just, you know, stay with the Mavs and see where we go with this. It's early in the process. I know it seems devastating because it's all been happening at one time. Yeah. It was just like in the last 7-8 days. It's just like the next, you get one black eye and you get up and turn around and then someone punches you in the other eye and it's been tough.
You know, and think about the other teams in our conference that are just chomping at the bit right now. Mavericks have been dominant for so long, and now all of a sudden, no coach, and a lot of the players are leaving. It's like, this is our year to get a little revenge. So I think, yeah, there's definitely a target, too.
You know, one thing you brought up, TJ, was this whole mentality of when you're the head coach that you almost get to select your successor. So you were mentioning Motzko and
Patolny.
Drawing a blank. Patolny. Here it's Hastings, and then maybe Cannot follows him to Wisconsin because Cannot's been told, hey, when Hastings is done and hangs up his skates, you'll be the head coach. Since when in the hell did that happen? When you get to pick, not only do you get to accept the job, and maybe this is happening, maybe it's not, maybe this is just sports talk, but since when did you get to name who comes after you as well? Isn't there an AD sitting at that school going, no, wait a minute, I'll make that choice? Or is that part of the deal now?
I think it depends on where you're at. I mean, Cannot is one of the best, if not the best, recruiter in the nation. So that's very appealing to an athletic director. Rumors swirled last year about Hastings going to Wisconsin, and he shut those down real quick and went to the national championship game. Mm-hmm. And everybody stayed put and was happy with that. So I think a lot of people just kind of figured with Todd being a young coach and having a young family that maybe Mankato was a good spot for him in the long term. But apparently not. Everybody has a reason for their decisions, and he doesn't have to explain it to anybody. But I know a lot of people were really hoping that he would be the heir just to keep some consistency going into the offseason and maybe keep these guys around. But again, hurry up and wait. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe we'll have some more news by next week.
We'll probably have more news by the time we're done recording the podcast. Yes, I feel like every time we talk about something in the podcast, as soon as it posts, something happens. So prepare for that if you're watching or listening to the podcast. Oh, my God.
They hired Herb Brooks? I thought he was dead. Wow. What a hire. That's crazy.
They're just going to move his statue from the X down here and put it on the bench.
Put it on the bench. See if it inspires anybody. Play a video loop, you know, on the video board of the gold medal game. The speech over and over and over. Well, oh my gosh, Spence, your Timberwolves are absolutely killing me. I got back on the bandwagon. I was all excited about things, and then they just absolutely crap the bed against the Trailblazers the other night.
And the Lakers. That one really hurt.
And these are games that these are so important right now because there's just like two two and a half games separating, you know, whether you're going to start the playoffs.
I know.
Or whether you're going to have to play in these stupid play-in games and one and dones. And it's so frustrating. They've been this way all year, though, right?
Yeah, I don't know how they laid a turd the other night. But and again, that Laker game too stunk. And now the Lakers have jumped ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're only, what, we're in the ninth spot. We're two or two and a half from the sixth spot. So you're right. There was a mess there, and that little losing streak really sucked. So, well, I don't know. And now Kat's complaining again, too. I don't like his attitude, but.
What's he complaining about? What's he whining about?
I don't know. He wanted to do a whole, you know, players-only meeting again the other night, like, over the weekend. I'm like, okay. He's got some things to say, and he doesn't want to do it in front of the media. And
God.
I don't get it, but.
You know what, though? Okay, so I did actually watch the game last night, and I almost turned it off because I started watching it right after the Twins game, and had it not been for the rule changes and how fast that game got done, Spence, I wouldn't have been able to watch that much Timberwolves. Just saying.
Jab.
So I was watching, and the Timberwolves were down by like 11, and they were playing flat, and I just went, I'm just going to turn it off, but it was still on in the background, and then all of a sudden I looked again, and they were down by 5, and then they were down by 2. Then they took the lead, and they kept fighting back, and it was, I don't know. I saw some fight in the team last night that I haven't seen for probably the last week, and Kat had a good game, like 22 points, and they interviewed him after the game. And granted, it's a post-game interview. Yeah, you got to be positive. But, I mean, he was talking about the team mentality and how there's only two games left, and all we have to do is one game at a time, but they're must-win games, and I don't know. I if they had that players only meeting, maybe it was a good meeting. I don't know, but they looked good.
They did look good last night. I'll give them that. Absolutely.
They had a lot of fight, which we have been needing. So,
but that's the thing. You see that for a game or two, and then you see the flip side.
Yep.
Where they just look like they don't care. And how can you be a professional and be in the standings where they're at? How can you not care? How could you not give absolutely everything you've got? I mean, don't you want to get into the playoffs and not just into the like eke in there and be like, oh geez, we just made it by a game or whatever? I mean, you still there's not much time left, but there's still a little bit of time to control your own destiny. And some nights they just look like they just don't care. It's hard to stomach.
I thought they looked amazing against the Lakers for two quarters. That first half of the game, and they were leading by like 15 points, and it was just about getting into the half. It's like perfect. And then all of a sudden it just dwindled.
Where did it go?
For the half, and it was over after that. So
where did it go?
Yeah.
Well, I think are we still positive on the Wild? I know they lost a couple of games, but they did clinch a playoff spot.
Yeah, they're tied for first. No, three teams all have 98 points. So it's going to be interesting down the stretch. I think Colorado has one less game than Dallas and Minnesota. So we won't know who they play until probably next week. But, we play, Pittsburgh tomorrow? Let's turn things around a little bit, get a win there, hopefully, and jump back in the first spot. We'll see.
There's a chance Kaprizov is back for the last couple few games. There's a chance. That's a rumor. That'd be good to see. It's tough to watch, like, the game against the other night against Vegas where we played really well. Gave up the goal with less than a minute left and had to go to the nerve-wracking 3-on-3 overtime, which is really fun to watch when you have no skin in the game and it's, you know, just two teams and you're just watching. But when there's a team you want to win, it is so frustrating. And then they go to the shootout, which, as fun as shootouts are to watch, it's a terrible way to decide a game. So I got a little frustrated when we were playing Vegas because I'm like, this is a team that we could meet somewhere along the way in the playoffs. And if we can't step up against good teams, then we're kind of screwed because once you make the playoffs, there's no more bad teams left to play. Mm-mm. And you don't want to be that bad team. So hopefully things stay on the right track. I don't think we're derailed yet. It's just a stumble.
I think most people would say this year is successful if we advance to the second round. It's been a while. It's been a long time, hasn't it, since we got out of the first round?
Yeah. I don't even know how long, but you're right.
Quite 10 years? Has it been a decade? I mean, seriously, 20? You're right. Yeah. I mean, we always, it seems like we always find a way in. And now these next few games could really influence where we play, who we play. Dallas is sitting there. Colorado is sitting there. These games are important. A lot of times you clinch and then you're like, oh, okay. Throttle it down for a little bit. And I just don't think he can do that this year. So
who's the last game against? I know they've got Colorado either the second to last or maybe their last game. I think next week sometime.
Yeah, they're all going to be very meaningful points. So we'll see what happens. How old is US Bank Stadium? It's not that old, is it?
Like, oh, my gosh.
10 years? Did you see the headline this
week? Yeah, seven, maybe.
Seven?
What was the number? 280 or something like that?
Yeah. Vikings announced that the US Bank Stadium will need $280 million in maintenance over the next 10 years. What? Who built that thing?
You get to make installments. It's not that big of a deal. You know, it's only... Jeez Louise. Is
it a payment plan? I mean, my God, that thing's not even that old. And I mean, my body's a wreck, and it's much older than US Bank Stadium. And I'll ask my doctor, but I don't think I need $280 million in maintenance over the next decade. Could be wrong.
Well, what was the number? Because they had a number for this year. It was like the first year that they needed to start doing repairs, and it was still like
48.
And how much do they have in the fund? Because they said that too. Wasn't it like 50?
Well, yeah, the whoever's in charge of this with the Vikings, they were said, hey, is there enough money to cover the upgrades? And the Sports Facilities Authority chief said, no, yeah. No, there's not. Not even. No.
Well, and some of the things on there, plumbing.
Really?
Yeah. Plumbing was on there. They needed some plumbing upgrades. I'm like, really? Good Lord. And then, like, you know, a tech update. I'm like, you just built the thing 7 years ago. You don't have enough Wi-Fi in the friggin' building? Like, what in the hell?
They're going to start dismissing you by section to go to the bathroom so that the plumbing can keep up.
And change the restaurants in there, too. It's got to be less aggressive food.
Yeah. Less Mexican. Right. Yeah. Nothing spicy.
Steamed white chicken and cauliflower. It'll be the spiciest thing on the menu.
Be a sign over the toilet. If it's yellow, let it mellow. Oh my God. I mean, it's just seriously, I don't understand. And didn't they already like have to replace all the exterior panels? Falling off and hitting people in the head, and birds were flying.
Killing birds.
Yeah. And oh my God. Did we build a lemon? Is that what we did there? Good Lord. Seems like a lot. So if you have a season ticket, will you also get an invoice for which repairs you're responsible for? If you can bring a wrench and tighten your seat back before you sit down, that would be great.
The bathroom next to your section needs some work, so you're part of that.
You're close enough. Oh, my God. Bring some Windex and a rag and wipe down the glass while you're here. All Spence wants to do is have the Vikings draft Tennessee's Hendon Hooker so he can get a jersey this year, right, Spence?
I'm gonna get an away one. I'm gonna get a home one. I want a Hooker jersey.
Yes, you do. You want multiples.
I can't wait till they Hooker goes deep. I just I hope that's the guy I hope they take. And not only that, I know we're joking about his name. That kid's pretty good too, by the way. He's accurate. Yeah. He's got a big arm. But I love the name. I'll buy a Hooker jersey. You're kidding me?
You will. How much would you spend on a Hooker jersey?
Well,
200, 300?
Will there be a happy ending?
Well, it's the Vikings.
No, it's Minnesota. There will be no happy ending. It'll be a colossal disappointment.
Thank you. Yes.
Hooker. It's
worst.
Not going to be worth it.
Worst hooker ever. Very disappointing. He's got to wear 69 too, doesn't he? I think he's got to be 60. I think that number's got to be available.
At least 68.
Oh my God! What are we off the rails? We really have.
Yeah.
All right. Peace out. That's it for the ball, guys.
Yeah.